Okay, let's get our Bibles out, and we continue in our lessons about discipleship. Does anybody still want to be a disciple? Does anybody, no, really find it out? It's more difficult than you thought.
Yes.
Let me find out. It's hard to be a Christian. I mean, it really is. It's easy to be a Christian in name. How many are Christians by name? We are. We know we are. And I'm not making light of that. I know we are. But to live the life of a Christian's hard, isn't it?
Yes.
And we're not even threatened by death. Think of what it must have been like for Jesus and his disciples. I mean, really. Think of what it must be like in some of these other countries like China and places like that to be a Christian. And some of these people are Christians, and they're Christians by, at the threat of death. At the threat of death. I mean, how many would find that difficult, right? And we are not that way by death. Unfortunately, you know what? In America, in the land of the free and the home of the brave, why, we can do anything by choice. Unfortunately, that's the choice, right? In the United States of America, we could be not only Christians by name, but we could be Christians by attitude and action, couldn't we? And the only reason why we're not is what? Our choice. How many are mature enough to understand that? It's choice. It's by our choice. Now, sometimes we are and sometimes we're not. Anybody agree with that statement? Sometimes we are, sometimes we're not. And on good days, we probably are most of the time. But when things, you know, get turned up a little bit with trials and tribulations and frustrations with people and things, you know, sometimes we come out. How many of you know you come out? Don't you come out? And so how do we do this? I mean, how can we be, you know, how can we be Christians? I mean, how can we do this? It's difficult. And it's certainly not by our own might, is it? Not really. I mean, you know, so many times people are trying their best to change others. You know, I do a lot of counseling. I do like a whole bunch of counseling for people. And you know what almost everybody, especially in marriage counseling and relationships, you know what everybody's goal is in this counseling session as to what? Change the other person. 100% of the time, change the other person. I mean, I can tell you right now, if a new couple came in here that you never met and I never met, I could write down on sheets of paper what they're going to say. And each one's going to talk about the other one. Pastor Tom, you just don't know all my problems. All my problems is who? Him? Who said her? Somebody said her. I heard the her. Christina? You jumping ship of your sisters. You should at least said who? Him? How many sisters say she said the wrong word, right?
I was assuming you were talking from the male perspective.
Okay. Well, in that case, you'd be right. And all the men said, amen. But everybody wants to change everybody else. That's the way it works. And you cannot. How many of you, just be honest today, how many of you really, really, really tried really, really hard at changing somebody else? How did it work out? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The only thing that happens is the person gets more entrenched in being who? Themselves all the more. And so the only change that we can affect in anybody is in who? Ourselves. And how hard is that? Pretty hard. And so how can we do this? How can we do this? And there's only one way that this is even remotely possible, and that's through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. And we tell people all the time, you know, you can, you know, we all know, you know, Philippians, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Well, the reverse is also true. Then I can do what? Nothing without him. How many say amen to that? It's just not possible. It's not possible. At best, we can be part-time. At best, part-time Christians. But then we worship a full-time God. So how does that work? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13.
Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Okay. Now, we're going back to what we talked about a week ago about working out our salvation. That's the part about being a Christian. That's the part. We all can be Christians in name. And many of us claim that today. How many claim to be a Christian? We claim it, and we can do that in name. We can do that. And all of us know how we got to where we are when it comes to being able to claim a Christian. I know that you know this. And how we did this is, you know, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. How many have done that? We've done that, right? And you ask for, you know, forgiveness of your sins. We know how to do that. And you claim the blood of Jesus and you bring him into your life and you repent of your sin. You turn from your way. You follow Jesus all the days of your life. And you get to call yourself a what? A Christian. That's how we do it. Everybody agrees with that, right? That's how you do it. That's what you say, oh, I'm a Christian. But now you have to do something further. That's work. That's the work part. We all got our salvation through Jesus Christ, but now what do you have to do? Now you have to work at it. And that's the deal. That's the hard part. Accepting, you know what, in emotion, Al, I can bring somebody here, like on a Sunday night. I'm telling you, I'm just being square with you. I'm being honest with you. We can create enough emotions in somebody to make them want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There is no question about it. A person wants to know that they are saved. Anybody say that's a true statement? People want to be what?
Saved.
Do they want to be different?
No.
Now, in there lies the question, right? Pastor Ed, they want to be what? Saved, but do they want to be what, Karen? Different. Salvation, accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, really doesn't take all that much work. It takes getting rid of your pride, but working at being a Christian, how much work does that take? That's where the work is. And people have a hard time with that, right, Sue? I accept them. I want the salvation part. But the change part, I'm not so sure. And that's what the scripture tells us, that disciples are working on their salvation. They're taking that which God gave them, and now they're going to work at not only changing their lives, but changing what? Others. That's the part. That's the part. And some people will say to me, oftentimes, well, how do I know this Christian thing took? And that's a fair question. I accepted them, but how do I know it took? And I often tell people, you'll know. I mean, you'll know. Is that a fair answer? You'll know. You'll know. Well, how will they know? There's a change. How many had a change in your life? Not a perfection. Not perfection. How many of you know you're not perfect? Just in case somebody thinks you are, turn to somebody and say, you're definitely not perfect. Go ahead. Mickey, nobody told you. So I'm going to tell you 1,000 watts. 1,000 watts and 4 speakers. Mickey, you are far from perfect.
I know that.
Ooh. I expect to say, and so are you. We're not perfect. But we need to work. So turn in your Bibles, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 13.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
The first thing that we need to do with this power that we receive from the Holy Spirit is to put to death the fleshly nature. How many know that's a hard thing to do? I mean, that's a really hard thing to do, right? I mean, my beautiful wife, my bestest buddy, Sissy, has me on this diet. And she does, and I'm glad she does. But Sissy, I lost how many pounds so far? 13 pounds, something like that? 13 pounds.
Yeah, but...
I gained a pound this week. That's the hard part. I gained a pound. Because we had this, Tommy's birthday was on Friday. He would have been 41. And Sissy made this Thanksgiving Day meal because that was his favorite meal. Now, how many know it's hard to lose weight when Thanksgiving's sitting in front of you? Isn't it? So I can actually blame Sissy a little bit for this. What kind of cake did you buy for his birthday? What kind of cake did you buy?
Chocolate.
It wasn't just chocolate. I didn't have to eat it. Cruel and unusual punishment, isn't it? Chocolate fudge, I think it was, Sissy. Chocolate fudge.
What did the little grandkids tell me that you did?
They were supposed to not tell you. We had a secret. We had a secret. Wait, we had a secret. My son Jesse bought Sarah's chocolate covered pretzels. Say it again. And they were right there. And I told Layla, don't tell Grandma. Because Jesse said, oh, have one. I said, I'm not allowed. And like, go ahead, Pappy. I said, don't tell Grandma. I said, okay. And so I had a secret with my grandchildren that they wouldn't tell on me. And so we were driving home in the car. And Layla said to Grandma, we got a secret. And I said, Layla? And Grandma said, did he eat something he's not supposed to? And Jacob said, he had a chocolate-covered pretzel. And Selena went, nah, he had two! Busted! By my own grandkids! But it's hard. It's hard to put to death this body. How many have a hard time with putting that to death? It's hard. I mean, even losing weight is hard. It's hard. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do this. But you have to what? Want to. And all of us are great, you know, we rationalize with the best of them, don't we? Well, I failed today, but I'll do better tomorrow. Now listen to me. This Jesus that you have in you and this born again Christianity, it's not an excuse. It's not a get out of jail free card. And people love to pass that around a lot. Here's your get out of jail free card. But the reality of it is, you cannot go around this world continuing to sin and thinking you'll just get out of jail free because you have that card. That's not how this works. How many of you know that's not how this works? If you sow the destruction, what are you going to get? Destruction every single time. It's not a get out of jail free card, so I wait whenever I want. No. Grow up and start acting like you're supposed to act. Is that a fair statement? I told some guys, doesn't matter where I told them, but I told them they had a problem with, you know, some pornography stuff. And I told them, I said, well, look, I can help you fix that. Let's just get rid of the internet. I can fix that overnight. Just get rid of it. Oh, no, I can't. I got to get my emails. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, then let's do this. Let's get rid of the internet you have. And let's get something like Angel Watch that comes into your house and you can't get it before it gets in there. Oh, well, no, because what if I'm going to do a book report on breast cancer? Really? Like, really? Like, when you're going back to school? Now, really, what the man is really saying to me is what? I don't want to. Come and understand that. That's the truth. It's not that you can't. It's you choose what? Not to. Help me understand that. So don't blame it on everything else. At least man up for the men and woman up for the woman and say what? I don't want to. Is that fair? And so we can put to death these sinful natures. When we purposefully decide to sin against God, don't blame God. Don't blame God. Blame who?
Yourself.
That's the truth. I mean, that's the truth. And so what we got to learn to do is we got to say, you know what? Through the Holy Spirit inside of me, I can do what? All things. All things. So if I'm not doing all things, it's not because I can't. It's because I what? Won't. Is anybody mature enough to fess up to that? Who's going to fess up to that? I just don't want to. I just don't want to. Let's just be real. I just don't want to. Well, take it up with God. Well, how many know you'll have the time to do that someday? I mean, you will have the opportunity, Jimmy, right, to talk to him. And so we know that through the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can conquer this thing that controls us. How many know our bodies control us sometimes? It just controls us. Even the Apostle Paul said, what? Why is it I know what I'm supposed to do? Who in this room knows what we're supposed to do? It's not because we're ignorant. We're not. Come on. We're halfway intelligent people. Well, maybe I'm a quarter, but some of us are halfway. And we know what we're supposed to do. We're not ignorant. We just don't what?
Want to.
That's it. We just don't want to. How many's got a whole bunch of excuses why you don't? I mean, really, truly. How many of you know what you're supposed to do, but you got like this whole list of reasons why, nah, I can't do it. No, I can't do it. No, I can't do it. And what you're saying to God is, you know, I trust you with most things, but I don't trust you with what? This thing. How many understand that? I trust you with all these things except for this thing. And so I choose what? Not to. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20.
Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
These bodies that we have are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just wrestle with that for just a second, okay? That these bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? And let's not make it too difficult. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit is indwelling where?
In us.
And let's get a little, you know, a little lesson in that. Before the day of Pentecost, which was in like the Old Testament kind of thing, like before Christ kind of thing, the Holy Spirit was present in the world. But the Holy Spirit dwelt with man. But after the day of Pentecost, Jesus says, I must go so that my Father in heaven will send to you the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the holy advocate. And where does the Holy Spirit dwell now? In the church, in the flesh. Now, I want to explain this to you. Jonah, can you come here a second, Jonah? Can I see you a minute, honey? You look so cute. Can I come here a minute? No? Oh, man, I hate when he does that. Can you just come here for one quick second? I won't make you speak or talk or anything. Come here. Come here. Thank you, Jonah. Here's my Jonah. Here's my Jonah. This is my Jonah. Who's your best friend, by the way? What? Turn around. Now, here's my grandson, Jonah. Him and me, we're best buddies, me and Jonah. Now, how many of you know that there might be some places I probably wouldn't go if he's tagging along with me? That fair statement? I mean, if my best buddy here, like we're going to build a train and stuff, me and him are going to build a train. But there's probably some places I wouldn't go with him with me. Is that fair? And sometimes my buddy here, I'm at home and I'm doing my work on my computer and he comes upstairs and says, Pappy, where are you? And he busts in the room and I'm on the computer. How many know I better be doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Is that a fair statement? Because he come up anytime he wants to. Is that fair? So how many know, you know, be careful little eyes, what you see. Be careful little ears, what you hear. How many understand that? Well, I got this little guy with me, right? Is that a fair statement? So now Sissy, you know, she's watching kids at our house now, and Sissy's doing a wonderful job. And we have, I call them Mr. Jake and Mr. Gavin. Mr. Jake and Mr. Gavin. And Mr. Gavin, how old's Mr. Gavin, Sissy?
He'll be two.
And Mr. Gavin comes in the house, and I'm upstairs getting ready for work. And what's he do, Sissy?
He comes up looking for you.
Comes looking for me. What's he say?
Tom.
And he comes, he just leaves you, and just upstairs, he's looking for me. Looking for me.
And some. He's got to take his coat off.
No, he's got to have his coat till I see him. Coat and his hat. He's two. Tom. And he comes in. I'm glad I'm dressed because he walked right in the bedroom. He doesn't care. How many know 2-year-olds don't care? They don't care, right? Or, you know, go in the bathroom. What you doing? You come up and try to come up with something, right? I'm reading. But, I mean, he can come in anytime he wants to, and I'm on the computer doing my work. So how many understand? Because I know that there's a potential for him looking for me. How many, you got to be careful. How many know you got to be careful? How many do the same thing? But you know Jesus is with you all the time?
Amen.
Oh, man. I hate when you did that. Wait a second. Wait. So I got Jonah with me some of the time, but I got Christ, Glenn, all the time. Wow, ain't that cool? Ain't that something? I mean, whatever I do, wherever I go, whatever I say, whatever I see, whatever I think, else is with me. Holy Spirit. Ain't that something? But like he put on blinders or something when you're doing what you ain't supposed to be doing? No. I mean, when you go someplace you shouldn't be going, because Jesus stay outside, wait in the car, Jesus, I'll be back. No. Imagine that conversation someday. I mean, imagine that one. Help me understand that. I mean, there was a man one time, and the man said he wanted Jesus Christ in his life. And he took him as Lord and Savior. And boy, he was really on this emotional, spiritual, unbelievable high. Oh, I've got Jesus in me. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, he did this on a Thursday at the prayer meeting. And Friday night, he's getting ready to go out with his friends. And he hears a knock on the door. Opens up, and Jesus is standing there. Oh, my. Jesus? Yeah. Remember when you invited me into your life? I'm here. Oh, not tonight, Lord. I'm going out with my friends. Not tonight, Lord. I'm going out with my friends. Well, you wanted me in your life. I'm here. Well, come on in, Jesus. Sit down. Oh, wait a second. Get all these magazines off the counter. Oh, my God, he's here. You start putting them underneath the couch, you know? Oh, no, Jesus is here. Well, sit down, Lord. What am I going to do? And Jesus says, you got anything to drink? Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus, I'll help myself. Oh, no, Lord. Don't go in the fridge. No, no. I'll get you a drink, Lord. Of all the days. Of all the days. He's come, not today. Oh, God, I just bought that stuff. Jesus says, oh, you got a flat panel TV. Man, can I watch a movie? Oh, I'll get that for you. Don't you don't want to go on the movies? I'll get them. Oh, Ben Hur's in here somewhere. Come on, Ten Commandments. I gotta have it somewhere. I gotta have the Ten Commandments. Oh no. Oh, you got a computer. Can I check it? Wait a minute, Jesus! Delete, 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 delete. Oh, how do you get rid of that? Delete it. I mean, would you have to do that if Jesus came to visit you? Where are you going tonight anyhow? I'm going out with my friends. Oh, can I come? Oh, no, Lord. You wouldn't want to meet these guys. Oh, no, I love everybody. I want to go too. Oh, no, Jesus. You don't want to go tonight. Believe me. No, no. You stay here, Jesus. Watch the Ten Commandments. Drink some chocolate milk. I'll be back. I'll be back. Oh, no, I want to hang around with you. And the man says, not today, Jesus. Takes the hand, nails him to the wall. Nails him to the wall. Say, stay put, Christ. I'll tell you when I want you. That wouldn't be you, would it? Because guess what? He's with you. Everywhere you go. Everything that you see, everything that you watch, everything that you drink, everything that you say, everything that you think, guess who's with you? Christ. So remember when you said, Jesus come into my life? Guess what? He did. So how are you doing? I mean, how are you really, truly doing? And people say, well, Pastor Tom, you know, you're held to this higher standard. Well, that's true. How's the air up there? Because so are you. Help me understand that. It's not like I'm way above you. Oh, no, we're all way above. And Christ clearly says, it's better that you never would have known than to know and deliberately don't do what he says. How many understand that? How many of you like me are held to a higher standard because you know the truth? How's it working out? How's that working out? Well, Pastor Tom, you just don't understand. No, I do understand. You don't understand. No, you don't understand. Because through Jesus Christ, you can do what? You just what? Choose not to. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13.
For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
His good pleasure. His. How many of you got a plan for your own good pleasure too?
Yeah.
But it's not for your good pleasure. Right, Pastor Ed? It's for His good pleasure. His. Look, we already know it's not easy to live a Christian life. Because it isn't. Right? It isn't. But that's not the point. It's not easy either being nailed to a tree. That's not easy either. It's not easy to bear the sins of the entire world on your back. How many know that's not easy either? But we are not called to do the easy things. We are called to do the impossible things. Because through Christ, what's possible? All things. Even to put to death what?
Self.
This self, this wretched self. How many are willing to say amen on that?
Amen.
And so, it's not that we cannot, it's that we will not. And that's the way that it works. Right? Because Jesus says, you can do all things through me, and through Paul's letter to church in Philippi, that is so he can work his good will in us. His good will in us. Now, I told you before, because, you know, I have, you know, passages of scripture here. I just, you know, speak, and sometimes I say things that offend you, and you know from the bottom of my heart, I just don't really care anyhow. I just don't. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you. Yeah. Oh, Pastor Tom, you really? No, I didn't. He did. How many understand that? Listen to me. I'm just speaking. Pastor Colin goes down there to SCI Green, right? I went with you that one time. That's not a picnic. You're not taking your picnic lunch there. You're not. You're not going there, you know, with your marshmallows and your Hershey's chocolate and making s'mores down to SCI Green. That's not what's going on down there. It's a pretty long trip. They drive all the way down to Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, to go minister to some inmates. To walk through the barbed wire. Maybe you're not called to do that. I did that with him. You know, you walk through the main prison yard, you got all those guys dressed in brown, right? Because they told us, when you come down there, do not wear brown. I thought, well, brown matches my eyes so good. It brings out the blonde and the green in my eyes. And they said, no, do not wear brown. And you go, well, come on. Well, I'm telling you, don't wear brown. So you don't know why you can't wear brown, right? So you get out, everybody's dressed in brown. You go, oh. Because the guard said, well, the reason why you don't wear brown is because when something comes up, brown is down. What do you mean brown is down? He said, down. I went, oh. See the white? It's white. It's white. No, not everybody is called to drive all the way down to Waynesburg, Pennsylvania to go minister to some lifers in prison. But what are you called to do? Don't tell me nothing. Because that's not true. That's not true. We're all called for something. How many know that's true? So I know you're not all called to go to a tractor meet and do a reaffirmation of the wedding vows at a tractor meet. I know you're not. But you're called to do what?
Something.
You're not all called to lead a free market. I understand that. I know that. You're not all called to drive with Sissy and I 5 hours down the Teen Challenge out there in the mountains somewhere to do an hour worship, turn around and come back. I know you're not all called to do that, but you're called to do what?
Something.
Something. For whose pleasure?
His.
His. So what are you doing? It is easy to say you're a Christian, but disciples do what? Do it. Turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 15, verse 13.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
All right. Then everybody got to Romans. Let's wait, because I see some people still finding it, and I really need you to get this. You know, get your highlighter out, get a little pen, mark it. Are you allowed to write in your Bibles?
Yes.
You surely are. Romans 15, 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Read it again, Mickey.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
And there is the hook. That's the motivation. to do what we're called to do. That our lives will be full of what? Joy and hope. Now turn to somebody and say, you know, you are full of something. Boy, there's some people who said, oh, I wanted that opportunity. Eric's going, oh, man, let me at him. Let me at him. And I saw Mark say to Timmy, hey, Timmy, he's talking to you. But we need to be full of joy and hope. Now, can we get this by Dr. Phil?
No.
Oprah?
No.
Montel?
No.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Through the Holy Spirit. When you woke up this morning, really, straight out, when you woke up this morning, did you hit the floor running and say, oh man, I am just so full of joy?
Yes.
I mean, who said yeah? Timmy? Way to go, Timmy. Way to go. And I thank you. I see my friends are still here. Mark is still here. Mike and Bob, so you must have kept that down range, right?
Yeah.
All right. How was that shooting?
Good.
How many did you hit?
Two.
Two? Out of how many? A bunch?
Yeah.
That's good. That's one more than I hit. There you go. Okay, so is your lies, when you got up this morning, did you hit the floor running and say, oh man, I am just so happy to be alive? Or did you say, oh, well, they'll know me if I don't go to church, or they'll know? Is that Bob keeping attendance? Will Chrissy have a check by my name in a directory? You know, we tricked Pastor Tom, we switched seats, he won't notice. Oh no, I notice. In your lives, are they full of joy and full of hope? Really? I'm serious. You know, we're going to go to Butch and Sue and Sissy and I and Shauna and Kevin and our family. We're going to go to the 60th birthday party of Sonny Siebert, the guy who used to play bass in the band I played in. And I can't wait. We're going to roast him. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. You know what I'm doing? A funeral service for him. We are gathered here today as we witness the death of his youth. I can't wait. And the whole idea is that we're going to go there, and then Sissy is going to get out of there and go right down to Sons of God and do another work. So, sir, oh, I can't wait. Want to hang with me a couple days? You want to go where I go and hang out with me a couple times and just get that joy of the Lord? Just can't do enough. You just can't do enough. Does anybody have that in your life that you just can't do enough for the Lord? Oh, give me some more things to do. Life is so full of joy. I mean, you have to understand that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you get that motivation, that joy. Does anybody get joy out of seeing anybody saved?
Yes.
I mean, that joy. That you know that somebody came to know Jesus Christ and that they are saved. I can't think of anything better than that joy. I can't. I just can't think of anything. How many's ever been on a high? Spiritual high, I mean. I added that. Who's ever been on a spiritual high? I'm glad I added that, huh?
Yes.
And you... can you imagine having that spiritual high every day of your life? How many of you ever had the high and then come down to the low? Spiritual high. Oh, Jesus, you're the bestest of the mostest and the greatest and the highest. And then, has anybody had that kind of experience? You know, boom, oh, Jesus, where'd you go? Where'd you go, Lord? I don't feel it. Well, can you imagine just being high all the time on the Lord, and then just having more highs? Just instead of like this, it's like boom, oh. That's the joy and the motivation of the Holy Spirit and what gives you the joy and the hope. Do you have that? I mean, I do counseling, as I told you, where I work every day, and people come in to see me in some of the groups I do, and they're Christians, that's why they're there. But I don't see a lot of highs and don't see a lot of joy. I see a lot of goofiness, like, oh, Lord, you don't understand, and life is so terrible, and life is so bad. And no, life is not terrible. Life is not bad. It's not terrible, and it's not bad. Do we have obstacles?
Yes.
Do atheists have obstacles?
Yes.
We have the hope and the joy through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's the part that you got to grasp. I want you to go one more passage of scripture. We'll do. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man.
Yeah. When you leave this place, I want you to understand that you are not to leave Jesus here. And a matter of fact, if you can leave Jesus here when you leave, we have to have a conversation. We really do. If you can leave Jesus here, we got a problem. Because if you can leave Jesus here, then Jesus is not in you. And we got a problem. We got a problem. Because that means you're not a what? Come, Michael, spit that out. Born again, Bible thumping, scripture toting, Bible toting. Blood bought, sanctified, card carrying, Jesus freak, right? You're not one of them. And so when you leave here, understand that you got the Holy Spirit in you to do what to you? Strengthen you. Strengthen you in the what? Inner man. To be able to do what? All things. It's just so elementary and so simple. It's so elementary and so simple. I can do all things. That means I can do the right things. Right? That means I can do the right things. I have the capacity within me to do everything that God's Word tells me to do through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that strengthens me. Can anybody debate that with me? Does anybody want to try to argue that with me? Anybody? I can do what? All things through Jesus who strengthens me. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In me. So I can do what? Can I do everything this book tells me to do? Unless I choose? Let's pray. Father God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us to be the men and women that you have called us to be. Not who we have called ourselves to be, but who you have called us to be. For we can do all things through you who gives us strength, through the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Father, I cannot, nor will I, answer for all of my brothers and my sisters in this room. I cannot, and I will not. I can only answer for me. I can't even answer for my wife or my daughter or my son-in-law or my grandkids. I can only answer for me. And I know this, Lord, and you know the confines of my heart. I want every blessing you have in store for me. I don't want to miss any of them. And I don't want to take a chance on not receiving not one of them because I willfully, of my own choice, will not do what you tell me to do. I won't do it. So, Lord, help my brothers and my sisters too to make the choice to do what is right. Not which is easy, that which is right. Not which is, you know, better for us, but what is right. So that we will receive every blessing you have in store for us. For we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Unless, of course, Lord, we just don't want to. Father, bless us this day. And all of God's people said, don't mean this to be sarcastic or flippant. Don't leave it as wimps. Go empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't know how much more strength you need than with God in you. I just don't know. What else could you possibly want? If you got God in you, how much power do you need other than that? God said, if you are for me, who can finish it? Who shall be against me? Nobody. Nobody. So do not leave this place as spiritual wimps. I'm serious. Get your heads up and get your shoulders square and tackle those things that you have not been able to tackle. Not by your might, but by whose?
His.
So don't let service be over when you leave here. For some of us, it's just getting started. And all of God's people said, Amen.